Now some news from the world of sports. And with a 16-game winning streak on the verge of being extinguished, the Boston Celtics turned to their new star acquisition to keep the flame lit. Kyrie Irving, still wearing a plastic mask to shield a minor facial fracture, turned in his most impressive performance to date in a Celtic uniform, scoring 10 of his season-high 47 points in overtime to lift Boston to a 110-102 victory over the Dallas Mavericks in Texas last night. Now, one of the reasons I initially scoffed at the trade that sent Isaiah Thomas to Cleveland for Irving was IT's astonishing ability to elevate his game to a higher level in the fourth quarter. But Irving did just that last night, rallying the Celtics from a 13-point deficit with less than 8 minutes left in regulation to force the overtime. He then scored the first 6 points for Boston to put the game away and run the winning streak to 16, the fourth longest in franchise history for the Celtics, which is sort of amazing itself, but helps explain why there are 17 world championship banners hanging in the garden. The most dramatic play of the game came with about a minute to go in regulation when Irving lofted an alley-oop pass to Jaylen Brown, who directed the ball to the rim where it hung there in suspended animation for a full second that felt more like a minute before falling through to tie the score at 96. Brown continued his fantastic sophomore season, scoring 22 last night. One note of caution for the winning streak, if it's to equal the number of those aforementioned banners, though, the last three Celtic victories have been engineered via the comeback, with the team needing to chip away at double-digit deficits before getting the win. It's something coach Brad Stevens has lamented, wanting his team to play with the lead instead. You can only go to the comeback well so many times before it runs dry. It's also true that the Mavericks team the Celtics beat last night has but 3 wins on the season. The counter-argument, of course, is that the comeback win against the Golden State Warriors was against the defending NBA champs, and ultimately, a win is a win is a win. And the Celtics have put together 16 of those in a row, as the Kyrie Irving trade I was so disdainful of when it was announced increasingly proves to be a Danny Ainge coup. To the NHL, and you would think that a streaking Toronto Maple Leafs team that had won 6 in a row and was skating at home against the team of the league's worst record would push that winning streak to 7. On paper, it looked like a lock, but on the ice, the Arizona Coyotes picked that lock, dropping a 4-1 loss on Toronto for just their 5th win of the season. Leafs coach Mike Babcock summed it up nicely after the game, noting his team's sluggish start to the contest, saying, quote, "When you don't start on time, you don't deserve good results, and we got what we deserved." Toronto missed a chance to match its longest winning streak since 2003, and after dropping 18 of their first 20 games, the Coyotes now see a glimmer of hope. They've won 3 in a row. To the NFL, and amid all the drama and controversy about players exercising their First Amendment rights, with theories that protests of kneeling during the national anthem have led to lower attendance and TV ratings for the league, it must be noted that at least part of the reason for the dip is that a lot of the games this season just have not been competitive. Blowouts have been prevalent. There's not much reason to stay tuned to watch a team run up a score on another, even if you're a fan of the team doing the routing. But last night's contest between the Atlanta Falcons and Seattle Seahawks bucked that trend, with a down-to-the-wire thriller that ended in Atlanta's favor when Seattle kicker Blair Walsh tried and missed on a 52-yard field goal attempt that would have tied the game with 2 seconds left on the clock, handing the Falcons a 34-31 win in Seattle. Falcons looked like they'd run away with this one, pushing their lead to 21-7 when Adrian Claiborne picked up a Seahawks fumble and returned it 10 yards for a touchdown, but Seattle staged a late rally, trailing by 11 with 3 minutes left when Russell Wilson found Doug Baldwin for a touchdown. Then the Walsh long field goal attempt didn't have quite the distance it needed to send that game to OT. Both teams now have a 6-4 record. Let me just give a shout out to fans of the Philadelphia Eagles who may reside in our VPR listening region. The Eagles, or as my college roommate from Philadelphia would pronounce the name, the Eagles, currently sit with the best record in the league at 9-1. Now, I got an email from a dedicated Eagles fan who desperately wants the sports report to start paying attention to that team's fortunes moving ahead, and I promise that it will. Philadelphia sports fans are among the most passionate, and it must be said, belligerent, forever enshrined in the Cantankerous Fan Hall of Fame for having pelted Santa Claus with snowballs at a home game, but they have suffered and maintained their loyalty for decades despite their team never having won a Super Bowl. With Carson Wentz having a career year at quarterback this season, though, they have their best shot in years at finally getting that championship. If they do end up facing the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, though, I will wager a cheesesteak from Pat's that the Pats from New England will come out on top. But hey, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Still a lot of football to be played before we talk about the big game. I didn't know there were so many Eagles fans out there. Maybe it's just the one. If there are other Eagles fans, send me an email. Let me know if you want to hear about the Eagles scores in the sports report, and I will oblige. They are a very good team this year. Finally, the Women's World Cup of Skiing takes place at Killington this weekend with slalom and giant slalom events, and the Nordic ski season has begun. St. Michael's College opened its season with an unscored time trial against Laval University.